Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Jeff Hathorn going to join us momentarily. Bob, I was taken with some hockey rants of late. Tortorella has since been fired by the Flyers, but he had a pretty good rant lately. And then there's Patrick Roy. Here's Jeff. What a nice man he's
Jeff,
become.
You know what? He was just at Penguins practice. He is a complete master of all trades guy.
He knows he has until 1:15 with us.
Well, I was at the AHL practice, so I saw Mirosov.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Let's hear
about
that.
That's right. They had Wilkes-Barre Scranton over there, didn't they?
He's impressive, not just as a goalie, but as a guy.
Tell us more, because I feel like he's the goalie of the future.
I mean, he just wins. And we talked to Amanda Kessel, who's in part of the front office, and she's like, that's the thing about him. He finds a way to win.
Has he lost yet in the AHL? Once. He didn't lose at all in the ECHL, did he?
It's been crazy. And he just, he's calm. He speaks English very well.
I'm becoming fascinated by that situation, Bob.
Well, yeah. And you guys probably talked to Steige, but like Steige came up to me a couple games ago and just said, they'll be selling his jersey in a year.
Well, good. They need that.
Mirosov.
Not meaning they're trading. I'm meaning people are going to be excited about him.
Yeah. I mean, that's a gigantic development. So
but again,
that leads to a question, Bob, is what do you do with these
21?
Guys? He's 20, I think.
20.
And that's, I mean, and he kind of came out of nowhere in a lot of respects.
Yeah. Fourth round pick, I believe.
And he's just, he's tall. He looks huge in the net. He doesn't seem to get ratted. Now, I mean, I watched a practice, so I'm not going to say I've seen everything he's done, but he is impressive. And you know what was cool to see? A practice that was happy. I mean, you see high
happy,
energy.
Happy, joyous, and free.
With knowing that there's more to the season beyond the end of the regular season. Like, it was just like a group that just enjoyed being around each other. There's some decently athletic. There's some speed. Not a lot of size, but, man, there's some speed on that.
Well, tell us more about Mirosov, because I'm now fascinated with this whole story. He's 6'2", fourth round pick, and if you talk to anybody over there, he might be the guy.
Why was he a fourth round pick? I'm just curious.
He's 21, by the way. He's 21. I don't know. Just maybe because he was so young, but
When you're Russian, I mean, do people fully grasp how he's played? I think that may have played a part in this.
Maybe. But normally these scouts are all over the place.
But sometimes goalies like find it.
Right, and sometimes they lose it quickly too. As
well, and he said he's found a consistency.
Plus, he's playing in pro leagues. I mean, over there, where they're pretty good, and his save percentages by year are 940, 927, 947, 948. Then he comes here, goes to Wheeling. I know it's Wheeling. 922, goes to Wilkes-Barre. He's 11-1 with a 916 save percentage, Jeff.
I love this quote, and I'm paraphrasing. I asked him about how he got so consistent. He said, well, he wakes up every day, and he kind of looks in the mirror and says, do I want to be a winner today? I love that.
That's great.
Talk like that is like, that gets you fired up.
The problem
but he's not
is,
the only one. Larson's played yeah,
Larson,
well.
Larson's a really good, intriguing prospect also.
What do they do with their goalies they have? They have Nedeljkovic signed for another
year. He'll and stay. Then Jari will be traded.
And then Blomqvist. How does this shake out?
Can they get rid of Jari? That's question one. If they get rid of Jari, then there's I'm looking at a competition between Blomqvist and Mirashov, with Larson being a dark horse in that group.
But Nedeljkovic is still here, though.
But
right?
If you've got a young goalie.
Don't you move on from him? I mean,
you well, feel like you've got a couple of young goalies? Could that be a part of a deal that you could acquire something that could really help you?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you go from where the Penguins are to where the Caps are. I'm not saying in a year, but that you can
but
make that
But you
want to
be careful with that
with
because
Sid's
the last
here.
Time they had a guy like this, Filip Gustavsson, he's in the conversation for Vezina this year. He's been that good, and you don't want to just give him away either. So I get that, and it was a different time. Was it Derek Brassard who they traded to get because they felt they needed him, and they really didn't? But this kid's 21. I think I'd take my shot. I wouldn't.
Too bad they couldn't do a 2-for-1.
Oh, I'm not saying you want, trade him.
No,
not him. But you want Blomqvist?
Yeah, but he'd have to show me.
You
got to
take
more.
Jari.
Wow.
Or then we'll take some of his
can't
salary.
Can't they buy him out?
No, they have could.
Jari, they
that
can
just,
buy him
it's
out.
On your payroll forever. So. The problem with this kid, Jeff, at least now would appear to be that he weighs less than city limits. He's 6'2", 172.
It reminds me of Matt Murray when he first came up. He was a railing.
Say, Matt Murray played well. I mean, there are thin, big goalies, and that doesn't mean he can't add to his frame.
Right. Yeah, of course. I mean, he's only 21.
There's the opportunity there. But
he just turned 21 yesterday.
It's just the attitude.
Happy birthday.
It's not cockiness. It's just like there's a confidence with this guy of like, hey, I don't overthink it. If I miss one, I'm determined that I will not let another one go.
That's good. You have to have that mentality if you're a goalie. You cannot let things bother you, period. Got to move on.
Sergei Mirashov, keep an eye out. Everybody I talk to over there is like, that's the guy for the future. So good work there, Jeff. We appreciate
that.
Fun. Apropos of nothing, I have a rant to play for you. This hockey, do you have your headphones in?
I do.
Bob, do you have your headphones on? I see them.
Yes.
They're bigger than Mulsey's cranium. Where'd you get those things?
They were just here.
No. Oh, they're.
Remember, I'm part-time pump. I just take whatever is available.
Shelby used to have a set like that she looked like Princess Leia because they were so big. It looked like she had her hair wrapped up around her ears.
So Patrick Roy the other day. Anthony Duclair is one of their players. And I want to see what you guys think of this. If you find it sort of admirable and something you want in a coach to rip a player like this, or if you find it Bush League and unprofessional. There's probably a case for both, refreshing or Bush League. And Duclair suddenly has taken leave from the Islanders. Like, he got yelled at by the coach and now he's gone. Roy said, oh, yeah, he's just not going to be here for a little while. Take a listen to, I think, what night was this? A couple nights ago,
posted by Isles Den and others on Twitter.
This is Patrick Roy on one of his own players.
And Duclair played only a little over 12 minutes.
He was god-awful. He had a bad game. That's why I didn't play him a lot. And he's lucky to be in the lineup. Sorry if I lose it on him right now, but that's how I feel.
Just what are you seeing that he's not doing?
He's not skating, he's not competing, he's not moving his feet. He's not playing up to what we expect from him.
Do you feel like that's an effort thing?
I think it's an effort thing.
God awful.
See, I don't like that.
Okay.
I don't. You could be critical of your team generally. I think if you think about Therrien and his rant, how soft they were. And I don't think he specifically called out anyone. He's talking about the team itself.
Yeah.
You can do that. When you start targeting players, especially god-awful, and that you're questioning all of his effort, I think that's a little bit too much. If you have that problem, you owe it to yourself and to him to go in there behind a closed door and take care of it that way.
Would gosh-awful have been better?
Gosh, yes.
What do you think of that, Jeff?
It sounds like there is some history there. Like, this is not the first time this has come up with this player. And it sounded like he was at his wit's end with this guy.
But just to say he wasn't, do you like that approach?
So I look at it this way. I don't want to be hypocritical. Being like a media person, like, I want the coach to tell me what he's thinking, right? So I'm okay with it because it seems like he had gone through every step, and not knowing the Islanders, that he had gone through every step to try to encourage this guy, to try to get him to play full, and he just isn't doing it, and he just had enough. And at that point, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I had the same thoughts in as far as, am I being hypocritical here? Because I want coaches to be honest. But then at the same time, and maybe both these things can be true, I don't know. At the same time, it felt like it was coming from a place of pure frustration with Roy because he hasn't gotten the job done on the island. He was brought in last year.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They had a little bit of a kick up for a while, and they're just not getting it done. Like,
how about if a coach?
They have 74 points, and it sounded more to me like a guy sounding off out of frustration and targeting one guy on his team.
How about if
I didn't
that
like
one
it.
Guy barked back at him? How about if Anthony Duclair was in there and said, what do you think of Patrick Roy? He said, you know what? God awful as a coach. He doesn't know how to put us on the ice in the right position to win. Would you like that?
I mean, they have three more points than the Penguins. And he was brought in there to kick them up a little bit.
To be fair, he was asked specifically about that player. It's not like he came out and said, we lost and this guy is God awful.
Yeah,
but there's
a
way to say it.
About why he
you don't have
get
to say God awful. I mean, there's a way to do it. I, if I was a coach, I'd do it behind closed doors. I don't need to air my stuff out in public because it just leads to too many problems.
And we will say this, Jeff. There's very, very few coaches who would do that. Sully wouldn't do that in a million years. Go to that length to rip a player. He may criticize somebody, not like that.
Close to. I mean, he's been critical of some guys this year. I would say this. If Pickens had not blocked in 7-8 games where you just saw him jog out and do nothing, and it cost him in a game and they benched him, and then you asked Mike about Pickens, would you want him to just say, you know what, George just isn't giving the effort. It's god-awful. Yes, I would. I would want him to say that. And again, not knowing the whole story of this season and how the player has played throughout the year, if he has done that over and over again, I'm okay with that frustration being
public. I do hear that, and I would want Tomlin to say that.
My expectations for him are far, far higher than what he's delivering.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have to call him god-awful, and I wouldn't want to, you know, I think that's a bad, to me, anyway, just my personal approach to it.
Six in a row, and Raw's been a disaster there.
I do think as a whole at times players need to like suck it up and accept criticism.
But you can do it behind closed doors. When it gets to public,
but maybe
now
he had, and he felt like that was his
all right. Well, there's still then you don't dress him at all. You say, you know, I'm dressing the guys who I think have the best chance to win. That's it. You can make whatever conclusion you want. That's my conclusion.
Well, Jeff, let's stick with the Penguins. Who among these young guys has impressed you the most that they've called up? I know it's a tiny sample size with a lot of them, with most of them, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say any of the forwards have really stuck out to me. I mean, Timmons has been here the longest. There's a little bit of edge to his game.
I like him.
I mean, I can deal with a little bit of edge. I mean, I think there's some work there, but he's played the longest, so I think he's the easiest to assess. I mean, I think Blomqvist just kind of snowballed on him, and hopefully when he gets right, that he can kind of find it. And just like we've seen other guys that have struggled, gone down and found it and had really good careers. So I would have to say Timmons only because I just haven't seen enough of these forwards. But I love the fact that they're up here. I love the fact that Rutger goes from being in the AHL to being on Sidney Crosby's line.
Yeah.
That's why you still have Sid there to work with some of these guys, given where the team is right now.
Yeah, normally that wouldn't happen. It happens because they're out of the playoff contention. But normally, like I remember saying this about Drew O'Connor, I always thought he deserved a better opportunity. It took too long to give him one. And I know they were trying to win games, and so he would get 3 or 4 minutes. You can't really make a stand for yourself if you're getting that many minutes. You need more minutes. So these guys are getting now, and I'm glad to see it.
Man, how many of these guys in baseball are – here's another one, Christian Campbell. He's played 6 major league games. He just signed an 8-year, $60 million extension. A lot of these teams
Same
are doing this now.
Jackson Merrill. Both of those guys got big.
Right.
I so hope we get to talk to Charrington tomorrow, because how this impacts the Pirates is huge.
Well, who's worthy of it?
Well, Skeens.
That just seems so unrealistic. The minute this guy leaves campus, he's worth $500 million.
But I'm saying, you're asking me who I would sign.
Yeah.
Who I would make. But then what if, you know, if Connor Griffin in a couple of years comes up and has, or next year comes up and has, do you sign him? Like, does it become a precedent? Because one of the advantages of this current CBA is that small market teams can hide under the rookie salaries and arbitration, and that should allow them to spend money on other players.
Yeah, and it gives these guys, the obvious reason they do it is, hey, no, even if I'm a bust or get injured, I've got $60 or $100 million coming to me. That's why they do it from the player's side.
And if they're good, you as a franchise have made a great choice. You're going to save money long run.
The Pirates essentially did that with McCutchen.
Right,
$51 million. You know, he had already been a pretty good player. But
that was big at the time, but a lot of people thought it should have been bigger. But he was comfortable with it.
They thought they were doing that with Hayes.
They did.
And see, that sometimes
you lose.
Here's the downside, right? I mean, maybe
Tabata, didn't they give Tabata the same kind of big deal?
Tabata, yeah.
Polanco, they gave a nice contract too. And I think you have to live in that area.
There's risk on both sides, but not the player's risk is I'm going to be great and could go out and get tons more money. Key Brian Hayes is the big winner here. A chronically injured third baseman is going to go home with $70 million.
But Reynolds is kind of a steal, the contract they're paying
him. Yeah, for $100 million.
An all-star outfielder?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder if O'Neill Cruz will be the next guy up for that.
That's a good one. That's
because
a good one.
Because if he has a 30-30 year, let's say.
And there's still risk on both ends.
There's always risk.
And the trick will be, before he explodes, if he explodes, do we get him under team control?
What would make sense to you right now? If you went to him right now and said, O'Neill, we like what we've seen. You got to work on your center field, but the back is playing for us. We're going to offer you what?
Jackson Merrill, 15 a year.
Are you ready? Ready to do that?
I would
already
be.
With him.
I would be, because the potential is just. And listen, I'm spending Bob's money, but I don't think he would accept.
Somebody like has to.
I don't think he would accept like 7 or 8. You know, you might say, "Well, you're only worth this for right now," but he's not going to take that. You give him, and I think guys know what other guys make. I don't think he would take less than what Jackson Merrill is getting.
All right, in an effort to satisfy Paul Skeen's short term. Let's say that it's unrealistic to assume he's going to get $500 million or more, but you want to still keep that door open. Would you offer him, knowing you don't have to, because as you said, the rookie contract still goes. So this year he's making less than $1 million. You know, once he gets to arbitration, that number will jump. How about if you preclude that? Go and say, I'm going to give you right now 5 years, $200 million.
Don't you already control him for 5 more years,
yes.
including this year?
I'm doing that so that maybe he signs at the end of that for again.
You know how I think you would get to Paul Skeens more than that, even his own contract, is to go out and get guys and make this team.
Well, certainly. Yeah, but
I think that would show more to him than anything you could offer.
And I like, but they haven't done it. They wasted this whole offseason not doing that.
I don't see any scenario by which Paul Skeens
will give up one second of his free
agency.
But if you go 5 years for $200 million, you're giving him $40 million right now. He goes from $875,000 to $40 million.
Is, boy, they were really nice to me to pay me that money. Now I'm going to stay and not take $500 million.
You might have that option. Garrett Cole got mad because they tried to withhold how much from him. Remember, and he
the greatest John Parado story. We're in spring training, and it was during that whole time, and he walked up to Cole, and a couple of us were standing around, and he pulls out a dollar and said, "Here you go, Garrett. I heard you're hard up for money."
What did Cole do, laugh?
He grabbed it, and then he like was ticked off, and then he turned around and kind of smiled, but he never gave the dollar back. Like, he held on to it. So
he had
John
a pretty
should
good
get
sense
that with interest.
Humor.
Yeah.